D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Can the First Amendment be used to attack Ken Ham's Noah's Ark Museum? And how does a wrong view that man is basically good inevitably lead to tyranny? You'll see on today's Truths That Transform. Hello, I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. On today's program, you will see how a secularist conception of the separation of church and state has been used to attack a famous Noah's Ark exhibit in Kentucky. And we'll investigate the effect that secular worldview has on taking away your freedom. We'll also give you the opportunity to encourage President Trump to fight to reclaim those very freedoms. As we begin, I'm joined by someone who is an expert on biblical ethics, one who has been focusing on government attempts to stifle liberty and innovation in the environmental arena. Dr. Cal Beisner is the founder and president of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. Cal, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here.
Appreciate it.
Now, the bulk of your research work is on environmental questions, so
yes.
Your knowledge base is largely about the EPA and the Department of the Interior.
Right.
But help us out with a broader view on this. What is it about human nature that causes us to be willingly dependent on a government that will eventually dominate us and limit our freedoms?
Well, you know, I think maybe we can go back to the Garden of Eden and how Adam responded to God when God said, you know, why have you done this? And Adam said, well, the woman you gave me. We all are wanting to try to get away from responsibility. So we want somebody else to take responsibility for us. And I think that's a huge temptation for us when it comes to how we structure our governments. Thank God, though, that the founders of the American government didn't have that sort of notion.
Now, there are enormous theological implications to a people who are willing to trust the government as their provider and not trust the Lord of the universe.
Yeah.
This really does come down to a question of worldviews, doesn't it? How your worldview is structured determines whether you view government as the source of your provision, correct?
Yeah, it does. You know, we can start really with the simple distinction between the creator and the creature. The biblical worldview tells us that God and his creation are distinct. The secular worldview wipes out that distinction. As soon as you've done that, then you have eliminated the basis for saying that there is a higher standard, indeed a universal absolute standard for right and wrong, to which even the highest governing official must be held accountable. Then you wind up, instead of a government that is designed to incorporate and to enforce universal, absolute moral standards as laws, instead you wind up with a government that enforces the opinions of those who manage to get power.
Yeah, exactly. What Supreme Court ruling in the environmental arena might restore a great measure of personal freedom without doing the damage to the environment that so many people envision?
Well, I think one particular case that is pending right now is the challenge by, I believe it's 26 or 27 different states against President Obama's Clean Power Plan, which was an EPA regulation to force states to bring their own emissions of carbon dioxide under certain levels. The Clean Power Plan has been challenged in the courts, and it's challenged on the grounds that the EPA was overstepping its authority by regulating matters within state lines rather than only matters that were interstate. And so that breaks the wall between federal and state governments. Mm-hmm. If the Supreme Court winds up ruling against that, and I think there's a very high likelihood that it will, because last year it stayed that law. It prevented the enforcement of it for the time being while Justice Scalia was still living. If they overturn that law, that will be a huge slap in the face of the EPA for its overstepping its boundaries. I think that will be very, very helpful.
If you turn on your computer and go to Google News today, they'll have a whole section on science, and often they'll announce the publication of a new study that has discovered this or discovered that, often based on speculation. What is your advice to people who are looking at purported breakthrough research? What should they be looking at to better understand and interpret it?
Well, my advice would be the same that the Apostle Paul gave us in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Test all things, hold fast what is good. You know, we know already now that roughly 75% of all refereed journal science articles published turn out to be non-replicable.
Yeah.
Some 50% wind up being proven to have had false results. The retraction rate in scientific journals has been rising year by year for over 20 years. There are problems with honesty. There are problems with basic understanding of how science works. All of these problems are rampant in the science community without even looking at a really dangerous development called post-normal science, which basically puts science at the beck and call of political agendas. So we need really to test very carefully and never just assume that the latest study is the right one, because over and over again, these studies get overturned.
Yeah. Cal, thanks so much for being here.
Well,
pleasure to have you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
As you've just heard, ultimately there are two incompatible worldviews clashing with each other. A bit later, you'll see how secularists have attempted to use government to damage a famous Noah's Ark exhibit in Kentucky. And as Dr. Kennedy shares, one of the great modern myths, that man is basically good, ironically leans to more draconian government, while a biblical view of mankind leads to freedom.
Is man really basically good? 83% of Americans now believe that, quote, man is basically good. Taken from a recent study made by the Barnard Research Group of California on the religious opinions of Americans today. The results of that survey are shocking, to say the least, and demonstrate that a tremendous shift has taken place in the thinking of Americans on basic religious issues. As I say, it's a witch's brew made up of part secular humanism, part New Age theology, and part the remnants of biblical teaching. Whatever happened to right and wrong, and whatever happened to sin? Is man really basically good? Well, it is to the Scripture, to the Word of God and the testimonies of the Lord that we should turn. It is interesting, I think, that the greatest of saints down through the centuries have all acknowledged themselves to be the greatest of sinners. The closer you draw into the light, the more clearly you see the uncleanness and filth upon you. And so it was with Job and Isaiah and Peter and Paul, who could say, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, and now I see thee face to face, and I abhor myself in dust and ashes. I am an unclean man. I am the chief of sinners. Or Augustine, whose name is always attached to the word saint, who wrote his most famous book, Confessions. Confessions of the sins of a saint. But it is interesting that the unregenerate live out in darkness, and so they don't see their sin and uncleanness. Sin is the only thing I know of that the more you practice it, the less you are able to even discern its existence. So the people most enmeshed in sin are the people most vociferous in their denial that they have any such thing at all. But what saith the Word of God? If we say that we have no sin, said John, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, let's see about Christ. Listen to his words. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Why do ye transgress the commandments of God? For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which come forth from the human heart. No, the Scripture teaches that man is not basically good. Christ taught that man is not basically good, and history confirms that man is definitely not basically good. Anthropologists tell us that one-third of all human beings who have lived on this planet have died at the hands of their brothers. That mankind has killed one-third of the human race. Consider even this very century in which we live. We have seen the Spanish Civil War, the Nazi Holocaust, Japanese prison camps, the Gulag Archipelago, the atrocities of Idi Amin, the massacre in Cambodia, 135 million people slaughtered by the communists. These and many another atrocity do not attest that man is basically good. How in the world could so many people have become so deceived and even deny the very foundations of this country? One thing is absolutely certain. The founding fathers of this country, to a man, knew that men were evil. And because they knew that men were evil, they knew that power corrupts and that absolute power corrupts absolutely, and therefore, not too much power may ever be collected into one or a few hands. And therefore, the federal government is to be divided into three parts, the executive, judicial, and legislative. More than that, the powers of government are to be divided between the federal and the states, and even some reserved unto the people. And more than that, that the powers of the federal government are to be definitely limited and specifically enumerated. And more than that, there are to be other checks and balances, such as the veto, and such as the power of the Congress to override the veto, and of the courts to declare unconstitutional the acts of the Congress. These and many other things are all part of the American Constitution and system because man is evil. And what? We've seen the reality of the sin of man. We've seen now that there are ramifications of this sin and the denial of it. It is indeed tragic. And one of the greatest ironies of history, that man's selfishness and sinfulness, when it is acknowledged as such as it is in our own system, it provides a system of government that allows for the greatest freedom and the greatest protection of our fellow human beings. But that those who do not acknowledge the sinfulness of man invariably, such as in the French Revolution, where they said that man was good and they ended up with a bloody horror, the terror of the guillotine, or in the Russian Revolution, which led to the Gulag, or in the Nazi terrors of the Holocaust. In all of these systems, all of these people believe man is basically good, and they produced a hell right here on earth.
As Dr. Kennedy explained, a secular humanist view of mankind says that people are basically good. They just need good governors. Yet that view always leads to heavy-handed government. And secularism seems to find a way to protect itself from all challengers. That was certainly the case recently in Kentucky, where Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis have opened a major tourist attraction, a life-size recreation of Noah's Ark. Secularists in the government there got to work quickly, trying to penalize Ham and abuse their authority. Here's Dr. Jerry Newcomb with more.
Noah's Ark.
Noah's Ark is one of the most familiar Bible stories being told and retold in a variety of ways, some faithful to the biblical text, some not so faithful.
This is the end of everything.
Beginning.
Now comes the Ark Encounter, a first-class exhibition in Kentucky, a dream of Ken Ham, founder and director of Answers in Genesis, who spoke with us recently.
We opened the Creation Museum in 2007. We've had 2.6 million people come through the Creation Museum since opening, about 300,000 a year. But our heart is, how do we impact more lives for the Lord Jesus Christ? And one of the ways we believe we can do that is by building a life-size Ark. Why? The cross is the greatest symbol of the message of salvation. But other than the cross, I believe Noah's Ark is the greatest symbol of the message of salvation. God had Noah build an ark for the saving of his household. He was to put one door. Only those who went through that one door were saved. God shut the door, then the judgment came and salvation to those inside the ark. It's a picture of Jesus. Two million people a year, including many non-Christians, will come and visit a life-size ark built to the specifications in the Bible, 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, 51 feet high, biggest timber frame structure in the world. This was an event in history. We want to tell people this really happened. Here's the size of this ship. We can walk people through all these exhibits and answer, how do you get all the animals on board, and how do you feed them, look after them, and so on, all with a view of challenging them that the history in the Bible is true.
Isn't it true, too, that historically there are all kinds of different cultures everywhere around the world that testify to a flood that happened long, long time ago?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, in the Ark, we've got 132 bays that have exhibits in them. And one of the exhibits is the flood legends in cultures all around the world. You see, since the Tower of Babel, people have handed down the account of the flood and they've changed it. But the real record that hasn't changed is in the Bible.
Isn't it true that a worldwide global flood would explain the fossil record even better than just, you know, millions
Absolutely.
Of years?
We would say most of the fossil record is actually the graveyard of the flood.
I understand there was a lot of opposition to your theme park on the Noah's Ark.
Yes, the secularists are very upset. You know, it's interesting. These people that cry for tolerance are some of the most intolerant people out there. And in the state of Kentucky, they have a tourism tax incentive where you can get a rebate on sales tax that you generate within your facility if you bring economic impact jobs into the state. And we were approved for that by the state. But one of those secularist groups, the Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, and I'm sure you've heard of those, who try to get anything Christian, all Christian reminders removed from the culture, they went to the governor in Kentucky and said, their religious organization, you can't allow a tax incentive for a group that's promoting Christianity. Now, they've given this tax incentive to the Bourbon Distillery Museum, Kentucky Kingdom, you know, Roller Coaster Park, Speedway, many other places. And then governor said, okay, we're going to stop this. You can't have it because, and they actually put in a letter to us, you're telling people about Jesus, you're evangelistic, and you want to have religious preference in hiring. You can't do that. And so they stopped it. And we went to the federal court. And we said, you know what? You can't say because you're a Christian and a Christian organization that you can't participate in a tax incentive like this. You can't say, we'll give it to anyone. Oh, you're a Christian group. You can't have it. You can't do that. First Amendment, free exercise of religion. And then the state actually said to us, because you hire people with religious preference, you can't get this state incentive. Wait a minute, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 gives a specific exemption to religious organizations to hire people with religious preference. So we went to the judge and said, First Amendment, free exercise of religion, and Title VII, the Civil Rights Act.
The judge took a year to rule, and he decided in favor of the Ark Encounter. In the 71-page decision, the judge wrote, quote, "The reasonable observer would not think that Kentucky is officially endorsing the Christian beliefs of Answers in Genesis any more than a reasonable observer would believe that the Commonwealth is officially endorsing a particular type of bourbon or artwork," end quote. The judge also cited previous First Amendment rulings, saying the Establishment Clause requires neutrality toward religion, not hostility, and that government regulation may not favor one speaker over another.
Our attorney said it's one of the best opinions I've ever seen on First Amendment issues. The judge basically said to the state, you can't discriminate against them just because they have a Christian message when you have a facially neutral program such as that tax incentive. And you see, we need to contend for the faith, and we need to stand up for what we believe in this nation, or we're going to lose those freedoms.
It is absolutely absurd that the twisted legal interpretations of secularists have been used to silence Christians and to back them into a corner. How many times have we seen these cases where, in a nation founded on religious free exercise, government is used as a brickbat against Christians? It is long past time that all Americans who love freedom stand up and reassert our constitutional liberties. And here's my very dear friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy to tell us how you can do that. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. Millions of evangelicals like you and me voted for real change at the ballot box in November. Now that President Trump and the new Congress have taken office, we need to make sure that fundamental issues of freedom are a priority. Dr. Frank Wright has composed an open letter to President Trump, offering him encouragement and calling upon him to pursue an agenda for freedom. In recent years, Christians have been prosecuted for acting according to a biblical view of marriage, and conservative and Christian groups have been targeted by the IRS. Government must be rolled back and our constitutional freedoms restored. Please contact us right away to get this open letter to President Trump, sign it, and return it to us right away. We have an unusual window for our voices to be heard in Washington, since this administration recognizes how crucial we were in the election. So make sure we keep these essential issues at the forefront. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. In the Agenda for Freedom, Frank Wright calls for action in six key areas: adhering to limited government, restoring the constitutional separation of powers after President Obama's vast overreaches, reverting to more local government rather than centralized power, rejecting government intrusion into the affairs of the church, and protecting our national sovereignty. It's time to not only make America great again, but to make America free again. Please join us in encouraging our new president to act decisively on these key components of liberty for the sake of our children and our grandchildren. Contact us to receive the open letter to President Trump, sign it, and return it immediately to us so we can make our voice heard as one. And please consider including a generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry as you do. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
Next month, a so-called Walk for Science will be taking place on Earth Day. It is said to be a reaction to the conservative shift in Washington and to evangelical Bible believers whom they portray as hopelessly hidebound and anti-science. But many now falsely use the banner of science to push various political and ideological causes, ignoring evidence that doesn't support their presupposed point of view. As proof, just look at the climate change data that was suppressed simply because it did not conform to a presupposed and fashionable assumption of a sharply upturning temperature trendline. The scandal that followed pulled back the curtain on two realities of today's pseudoscientific method. First, academic researchers have shown that about 75% of today's so-called scientific studies produce results that cannot be replicated. Now, as any fifth-grade science student can tell you, proving something by the scientific method requires repeatability. Yet many of today's scientists ignore this issue because of a second trend identified by academic researchers, something called confirmation bias. Simply put, we find confirmation bias in pseudoscientists who start with a preconceived conclusion and then search for data that supports their presuppositional view, while studiously ignoring data that contradict it. This practice is so widely known that the term confirmation bias has entered into the popular lexicon. But here is the point. Genuine science is a product of the Christian Western civilization. It could not and did not arise in any other milieu. While currently fashionable, though unprovable, theories say that our universe is just one of an infinite number that randomly popped into existence, real science still must assume an orderly, rationally designed universe in which physical causes and effects are discoverable and repeatable. One viewpoint upholds that conception that undergirds all of science. It happens to be the Christian viewpoint. Another viewpoint utterly undermines it, the secularist notion that the universe suddenly popped into existence randomly and cataclysmically. Progressives like to pat themselves on the back for believing in quote-unquote science. But it's also progressives who jumped on such now discredited scientific theories as eugenics, socialism, and the inhumanity of the fetus. It's progressives who fought tooth and nail against nuclear power. It's progressives who say that a man who identifies as a woman is a woman, despite all the evidence of biology. Christianity is pro-science. Let's indeed follow the evidence wherever it leads and not force it to conform to whatever is fashionable and politically correct. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on Truths That Transform, where we're standing for truth and defending your freedoms. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The Bible says that Christ came to destroy Satan. In 1 John, it says that he came to destroy the works of the devil.
Today, what we're doing is basically sharing visual parables in the form of motion pictures to draw people to a closer walk with God.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.